It is so good to be with you again. I thank you for having me, inviting me again to be with this congregation, which is now my other beloved congregation, fellowship. In many of my previous sermons, I've tackled such heavy topics and subjects as immigration, justice, the nature of reality. When thinking of today's topic, I thought, why not talk about something really difficult, like joy? Here are some definitions of the word. Intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness. The expression or manifestation of such feeling. A deep feeling or condition of happiness or contentment. Something causing such a feeling. A source of happiness. An outward show of pleasure or delight, rejoicing. The emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires, delight. Here's how some have described joy. Agitated with delight as a waving sea. It's the Arabian Nights. Exhilaration through his breast spreading like some pleasurable form of heartburn. Nadine Gordner. Bliss, as though you'd suddenly swallowed a bright piece of that late afternoon sun and it burned in your bosom, sending out a little shower of sparks into every particle. Catherine Mansfield. Ecstasy warm and rich as wine. Harvey Swatos. Enjoy life like a young porpoise. George Santayana. Her heart became as light as a bubble. Antonio White. Joy. Felt it rumbling within him like a subterranean river. Andre Malraux. Joy leaping within me like a trout in a brook. George Garrett. Joys like angel visits, short and bright. John Norris. There's much written about joy. I like this description by Jerry Rosser in his Psychology of Joy website. He said, joy is a unique state of consciousness that generates a heightened, sustained happiness that is at once subtle, serene, and positive, and dynamically active. And joy is a unique synthesis of elation, of feeling, lucidity of thought, and positive intention. Joy is a special wisdom that creates a clarity of understanding which can guide our choices in life to create even more joy, deepen our sense of self, and bring a dynamic aliveness, meaning, and intelligence to our relationships and creative expressions. Usually, the description of feeling joy is that it is fleeting and impermanent. A question that commonly arises is, how can one stay in a state of joy? And that question is equally as many times answered as, well, you can't. You can't stay in a state of joy. The answer is always taken on its face. It's not challenged, but simply accepted as a truth. But I'm not so certain about that. I'm not playing with semantics here. But I believe people too often confuse ecstasy for joy. Ecstasy is a state of intense joy or delight. It's so intense that one is carried beyond rational thought and self-control, and that definitely doesn't last for very long. See, I believe you can stay in a joyful state if you make a practice of finding joy. Put another way, you can live in a general state of happiness that is punctuated by joyful experiences, and those experiences can be sought out and incorporated into your life. The key is paying conscious attention to the way that joy operates, like a science. Notice that joy is most often experienced when it's shared, when in connection with other relationships to something or someone else. In Buddhist practice, this is called mudita, meaning happiness in response to a person's happiness, success, or good fortune. And that is a genuine feeling of happiness, not one that's forced. I believe that to experience more joy in our lives, we can adopt a simple strategy of feeling happy for another's happiness. The Buddhist Sutra points out that a single lamp may light hundreds of thousands of lamps without itself being diminished. A Swedish proverb says, shared joy is a double joy. And our friend William Shakespeare said, joy delights in joy. In an article entitled Appreciating Joy, Marcelo Spinola said of this shared quality of joy that, quote, appreciative joy is the closest we get to a free lunch. As the Dalai Lama has said, when we feel happiness in response to another's happiness, our odds of being happy go up by about 6 billion to 1. A Buddhist monk said, your life will gain in joy by sharing the happiness of others as if it's yours. However, appreciating joy is not limited to the appreciating the joy of others. We can feel joy in response to our own joy. We may feel happy about some circumstance and then feel happy about feeling happy. The exact same way we would feel happy for someone else. So why not get the most out of it? Feeling joy nourishes us, and it gives us more reserves to deal with difficulties when they come along. Besides, in experiencing our own joy, we in turn radiate that towards others as we interact with them, making a contiguous and contagious and virtuous cycle. Another way joy operates is it's often disguised as something else. Watch out for this. Contentment, equanimity, tranquility, a sense of well-being, happiness, enjoyment, altruism, amusement, playfulness, gratification, delight, comfort, harmony, satisfaction, warmth, euphoria, and elation are all likely suspects, especially if those emotions persist for a long time. Joy is contagious. It spreads like wildfire between anyone it's shared with. A research study performed by Harvard and MIT researchers documented that the spread of happiness or sadness is contagious, with spreading patterns similar to communicable diseases like the flu. They found that being full of joy is not only good for you, but also good for the people who are around you. And researchers conducted multiple studies associated with joy that scientifically prove physical benefits of being joyful. A group of American psychologists discovered that positive thinkers live 7.5 years longer than more pessimistic people. Having a positive attitude towards aging has proven to have greater effect than physiological measures like blood pressure and cholesterol. And of course, we've all heard the studies that conclude that laughter helps overall health. Joy is an aspect of love. You could say they're kissing cousins. It's one of the most profound ways that joy operates, and it's manifested. Most of us know or can easily bring to mind the thrill of love in all of its flavor: romantic, erotic, platonic, familial, religious, and agape. We actively seek out the pleasure of those deep connections we have with others. Psychologist Eric Fromm maintained in his book, The Art of Loving, that love is not merely a feeling, but it is also actions. And in fact, the feeling of love is superficial in comparison to one's commitment to love through a series of loving actions over time. So in this sense, Fromm held that love is ultimately not a feeling at all, but rather it's a commitment to loving actions towards another and oneself or many others over a sustained duration. And I would say that joy operates in a similar manner to love, that both emotions or feelings are, as Fromm says, more of a commitment to an action that embodies those feelings of joy or love, or more likely, a deliciously sustaining combination of both. Joy is an aspect of peace, another of its kissing cousins, and another profound way that joy operates. Now, I'm not talking about the peace that is absence of violent conflict or hostility. I'm talking about the peace that Robert Fulghum described when he wrote, "Peace is not something you wish for. It's something you make, something you are, something you do, and something you give away." Here again is a description of the nature of a thing that does not directly define it. Joy is like subatomic particles that cannot be directly observed, but effects of which can be seen in what are called cloud chambers. The words peace and joy are often commingled in the Christian and Christmas season. They both suffer from the burden of being thought of as unattainable over a long period. But the question is, why does that have to be true? We all understand, at least on an intuitive level, that inner peace is the road upon which joy takes joyrides. Find peace, and you'll find joy. Guaranteed. All the time. I guarantee it. Joy is like being kissed by God. It opens us to unexpected vistas, clarity, and connectedness that lie beyond our normal experience. I love what Catherine Mansfield wrote about joy. "As though you'd suddenly swallowed a bright piece of that late afternoon sun and it burned in your bosom, sending out a little shower of sparks into every particle." Amen, Sister Mansfield, for bringing us such a powerful image of how joy operates. Joy sending out little sparks into every particle certainly captures the transcendent nature of it. The image reinforces my own thoughts about joy. I like to think of joy as the subatomic particles of our life experience. Joy-flavored quarks, charms, leptons, electrons, muons, bosons, and gluons are what I'm talking about. I utterly reject the notion that life is supposed to be about suffering and pain. I firmly believe it is our purpose to be happy, to hunt relentlessly for those joy jewels. The feeling that you're being kissed by God should be an indication that we are awash in a universe of joy, that joy is the substance of all there is. And I believe that one day, physicists who so diligently seek to explain what we now call the consciousness that underlies all existence will someday look up from their calculations and say, "Eureka! Consciousness is joy. It's the way God dances." So, Clavis, you say, how do you find joy? My answer is that joy can be planned for and even expected, but you have to notice that the actual feeling just comes over you. Have you ever noticed that? It's spontaneous. Planning for joy doesn't take a lot of work. You can simply put yourself into situations that invite joy's presence. Purposefully sit down on a rainy day with some hot cocoa and curl up for a few hours with that book you've been wanting to read. Play music, or better yet, learn to play an instrument, and then you can play music. Play your favorite sport. Notice that play figures prominently here. Playing is one of the great attractors of joy. As for the idea that you can sustain joy, here's some things on staying in joy over a long time. Some tips. forgive yourself and others. There are a few things that create a rich, fertile ground for joy more than forgiveness. We all do and say stupid things. We hurt one another. We're not perfect, and we're all in need of improvement. My Unitarian Universalist bones do not believe in sin, in what has come to be the conventional sense of it. Sinning is to miss the mark. In that way, I believe we're all sinners. We often miss the mark. It is in our nature to fail on occasion. So learn to forgive yourself and others and join the human race of fellow emotional klutzes. Learn to spread forgiveness liberally upon the cake of life, and it will be sweeter. Another thing, avoid unhappy people. Just remove yourself from their presence. You know, the people that are negative or deplete your energy. Surrounding yourself with happy and surrounding and successful people is one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself. And who says that you have an obligation to help unhappy people become happy? That's their responsibility. From this day forward, be clear that your responsibility is to be as happy as you can be. And if that means you need to remove yourself from unhappy people to do it, then do that. Besides, sometimes you'll find that your presence simply feeds into a codependent dynamic for an unhappy person. Breaking that cycle could be good for them as well. Be open to change. Learn to be flexible and open to the opinions of others. Sometimes fear is what limits our growth. When we embrace change, fear has little room to grow. Andre Gide said, "Man cannot discover new oceans unless he has the courage to lose sight of shore." You can fight change, or you can accept it, or you can embrace it. Encourage and embrace change the way you'd hug a bad little boy with loving arms. If you do that, then change will soon be your friend, and you'll be taken to some of the best places that you can't imagine. Another way to be joyful is to be appreciative. Ralph Marston says, "Be appreciative of the truth even when it is painful. Be appreciative of each moment, of each circumstance, of each encounter, for everything can add richness to your life when you allow it. Appreciate the gifts in your life. That includes people, circumstances, possessions, and your health. In fact, appreciate the fact that life itself is the greatest gift. And that appreciation, when you truly incorporate it into your daily existence, simply cannot help but invite joy." Here's another thing. Discard the illusion that you're in control of anything. Chaos is a fact of life in this universe. And that's not to say that you can't influence events in your life and you don't have to, you know, that you can't attempt to control some things. Perhaps it's better to say not to worry about the things you can't control. And I don't know if I've said this to this congregation, but certainly to some people, I have said, my rule number one, people will do whatever they want to do, whether you want them to or not. I had to learn that and incorporate it into my DNA. And I can tell you that has personally helped me to live a more joyful life. Live in the present. You've heard that a million times from people who quote Eckhart Tolle, who wrote, "Nothing ever happened in the past. It happened in the now. Nothing will ever happen in the future. It will happen in the now." My good friend Eric Lieber drives me crazy. He calls anxiety about the past, pasting, and future, futuring. And he points out to me when I'm futuring, but I don't appreciate the reminder. For joy can only be experienced in the moment called now. Understand that, and you'll find joy. When I was writing this sermon, I started what I called a joy journal, because I wanted to demonstrate how I found joy simply by looking for it. Talking with my wife, Carol, at breakfast on a stormy, rainy morning, and the sun suddenly appears. Feeling the graciousness of the trees in our front yard as the branches reach out in all directions. When I talk to my daughter, Keely, about her children, the way my cat, Neo, looks at me and reaches his paw to touch me when he's stirred from one of his naps. Looking closely at a blade of new grass. Thinking about how running water and indoor toilet must have provided endless joy for some people 150 years ago. When a coffee shop has a fresh croissant with cream cheese to accompany my quad espresso. That's a big one. When I've taken a walk in a cool, fresh fall afternoon between rainstorms. When my deceased friend Laurie Marvin comes to visit me by planting a funny insight into my mind. She calls them upgrades to my head. When one of my fourth graders at River Oak Charter School, where I teach, nails a complex rhythm I've put on the chalkboard. Closing my eyes and lowering my head while improvising a solo until I can smell the rosin and varnish between the neck and the body of my cello. And I'm then transported beyond space and time. I come back to realize the musicians I am with are God, playing music together. This week I've had many joys that are too numerous for me to record, too sublime to capture, too rich to plumb. I can honestly tell you that I live in a general state of happiness that's punctuated by such joyful experiences. Those kinds of experiences can be sought out and incorporated into anyone's life. The key is conscious attention to the way that joy operates. Some enjoy when you're fully present in the moment, and I promise it will come to you like a beautiful bird that's just been waiting for your call. Namaste.